From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister Hartarto said 143 companies plan to reallocate investment to Indonesia. The Indonesian Red Cross encourages unity of nations elements amid COVID-19 pandemic. Now the news in details. Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto revealed that 143 companies, including from the United States, Taiwan, South Korea, Hong Kong, Japan, and China, plan to reallocate investment to Indonesia. As reported by Antara's agency, Minister Erlangga noted at the HSBC Economic Forum event in Jakarta on Wednesday that data from the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, shows that 143 companies have planned to reallocate investment to Indonesia, with the potential of more than 300,000 workers being observed. He further stated that the reallocation plan indicates that the COVID-19 pandemic had offered valuable lessons, that supply chains of goods could not be centralized in one country. He also remarked that currently, several multinational companies are starting to relocate from China to other Asian countries, especially the Asian regions. The Indonesian Red Cross PMI has pushed for greater cohesiveness among all elements of the nation by integrating efforts to tackle the COVID-19 pandemic. As reported by Antara News Agency, Secretary General of PMI Sudirman Said in a written statement in Jakarta on Wednesday stated that what should be strengthened is solidarity and cohesiveness among all stakeholders of the nation, in addition to transcending barriers of ethnicity, race, religion, and political spheres. Integrating efforts is solely important for the sake of human safety. Sudirman Said also remarked that in the wake of a pandemic that has resulted in a humanitarian crisis until now, several agencies, including the PMI, will continue to focus on humanitarian assistance and countermeasures. However, despite vaccine production's plan immediately to prevent the transmission of COVID-19, the public should continue to strive to maintain physical and mental health in the face of the pandemic. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Syrian oil minister Bassam Thomas stated on Wednesday that Syria is experiencing worsening gasoline shortage as a result of tougher U.S. sanctions disrupting crucial fuel imports. He also explained the latest crisis to hit the war-devastated country's crumbling economy. As reported by Reuters.com, the CSIR Act, the toughest U.S. sanction, which came into force last June, prohibiting foreign companies trading with Damascus, had disrupted several imported shipments from undisclosed suppliers. He further pointed out the tightening of the American siege and their barring of imports from arriving force Syria to reduce distribution of gasoline by 35%. Residents says there have been acute shortage in the capital and main cities, where long queues have been building at petrol stations in the last week. Japan's Yoshihide Suga was voted prime minister by parliament on Wednesday to become the country's first new leader in nearly 8 years, appointing a new cabinet that kept about half of the familiar faces from predecessors Shinzo Abe's lineup. as quoted by JakartaPost.com, Suga, Abe's longtime right-hand man, has pledged to pursue many of Abe's programs, including his Abenomics economic strategy, and to forge ahead with structural reforms, including deregulation and shutting down bureaucratic turf battles. Abe, Japan's longest-serving premier, resigned because of ill health after nearly 8 years in office. Suga served under him in the pivotal post of the chief cabinet secretary, acting as top government spokesman and coordinating policies. Suga, who won a ruling Liberal Democratic Party's or LDP leadership race by a landslide on Monday, faces a plethora of challenges, including tackling COVID-19 while reviving a battered economy and dealing with a rapidly aging society. Official data showed on Thursday that New Zealand fell into its deepest economic slumps on record in the second quarter as its battles against the coronavirus pandemic paralyzed business activity. As reported by Reuters.com, gross domestic products contracted a seasonal adjusted 12.2% quarter on quarter, its sharpest quarterly contractions on record and largely in line with economies polled by Reuters, who had forecast a 12.8% decline. GDP fell 12.4% year-on-year. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand had forecast a quarterly decline of 14.2% and an annual contraction of 14.4%. Growth has been hit by a standstill in economic activity as a strict nationwide coronavirus lockdown in April and parts of May forced almost everyone to stay at home and businesses to shut. The U.S. government said on Wednesday that its side will start distributing a COVID-19 vaccine within 1 day of regulatory authorization as it plans for the possibility that a limited number of vaccine doses may be available at the end of the year. As reported by Reuters.com, officials from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Defense on Wednesday held a call with reporters and then released documents on the distribution plans that it is sending to the states and local public health officials. The federal government will allocate vaccine for each state based on the critical population recommended first for vaccination by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The guidelines suggest that the government is likely to broadly follow guidelines generated by an independent expert panel tapped by U.S. health officials to lay out which Americans to prioritize while vaccine supplies are limited. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is today's commentary titled Indonesian Economic Growth Projection. On September the 15th, Statistics Indonesia or BPS announced that Indonesian import grew negatively in August 2020. However, the trade balance experienced a surplus because the export was higher than the import. Statistics Indonesia announced that Indonesia's import in August 2020 was $10.74 billion. Meanwhile, the export was $13.07 billion. Therefore, Indonesia's trade balance in August was surplus $2.33 billion. The surplus was a surprise amid the COVID-19 pandemic, which caused a sluggish economy not only in Indonesia but also in almost every country. Based on Indonesia's economic development in this difficult time, Asian Development Bank projected that Indonesian economic growth will improve in early 2021.
ADB economist for Indonesia, Emma Allen, in a webinar on Asian Development Outlook 2020 in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that the ADB projected the recovery will happen quickly along with domestic demands, which can increase Purchasing Managers' Index on manufacturing until surpassing the 50 limit in August. Therefore, in their annual economic publication, Asian Development Outlook 2020, which was just released, maintains their prediction for Indonesian economic growth next year around 5.3% after experiencing 1% contraction in 2020. ADB's projection about Indonesian economy is not too different from the government's explanation to the House of Representatives last year. The Finance Minister, Sri Mulyani Indrawati, in a working meeting with the House's Budget Committee, stated that last week, the economic growth in the state budget draft 2021, which was targeted between 4.5 to 5.5%, now became 5%. She also explained that the economic growth target change was a right decision, which represents the hope and caution towards the uncertainty in 2020. COVID-19 pandemic is truly a bad hit against economic growth in almost every country. For Indonesia, 1% contraction in the fourth quarter was a rare occurrence after the 1997-1998 monetary crisis. However, many policies taken by the government, such as cash aid to boost domestic purchasing, as well as investment and business leniency, had given hope for economic restoration. Although Indonesia is facing the second wave of COVID-19, the joint effort against COVID-19 with some countries, mainly in vaccine development, which had been in the final clinical test, had also given hope for the people to live healthily and normally, so it moves again the domestic economy, namely the industry, service, manufacture, and tourism sectors. Listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in our regular program Today in History, we start from an event on September 17, 1945, when Indonesian Red Cross was established. The struggle to establish the Indonesian Red Cross, or PMI, began in 1932. The activity was pioneered by Dr. Senduk and Dr. Bahder Johan by drafting the formation of PMI. The process of forming PMI after the proclamation of Indonesian independence began on September 3, 1945. At the time, President Sukarno ordered Minister of Health Dr. Boen Taran to form a National Red Cross body. Exactly 1 month after Indonesia's independence on September 17, 1945, PMI was established. This historic event is known today as PMI Day. I will continue the event with the National Transportation Day, which is celebrated every September 17th each year. Before the establishment of the National Transportation Day, each state-owned enterprises engaged in the transportation sector celebrated their respective anniversary on different and close dates. Considering time and cost, various events to celebrate almost the same thing were considered inefficient. Therefore, in 1971, a commemoration of the National Transportation Day was held to bring together the service day of all state-owned enterprises engaged in transportation, namely 17th September. This National Transportation Day was first established in 1971 through a decree of the Minister of Transportation published on August 26, 1971. The last event was in 1978, when Camp David Peace Agreement signed at the White House for peace in the Middle East. Previously, United States President Jimmy Carter led a 12-day secret negotiation between Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin. This agreement gets its name from the resting place owned by U.S. President Camp David in Frederick County, Maryland, where the negotiations took place. This agreement also gave birth to the Israeli-Egyptian Peace Agreement in 1979. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Pesan singkatku untukmu ku sertakan, tanda peluk dan ciumku. Apa kabar? Semoga kau baik saja dan menjaga cinta terpisah sementara. Maafkan aku jika terlalu lama kau menungguku pulang, tapi ku pastikan saat ku kembali hatiku tetap untukmu. Dan bila kau menduakanku, apalagi di belakangku, jangan salahkan bila di sini ku nakal dengan yang lain. Ku harap kau juga mengerti, cinta itu butuh percaya.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Ministry of Environment and Forestry mentions communities as an important role in watershed rehabilitation. Deputy Minister of Environment and Forestry, Alwe Dohong, encouraged that communities' role will be more optimized in forest management, particularly in rehabilitation of watersheds. Alwe Dohong said this when delivering a keynote speech at the Watershed Rehabilitation Webinar on Monday, September 14.
According to him, society should not only be used as an object, but must become a crowdsourcing with other forces, both from the central and local government sectors, academicians, researchers, environmental activists, and the business world, who are then encouraged by the media to form a great force. In this activity, Alwi Dohong had an opportunity to talk through video conference facilities with a community who were carrying out tree planting activities in watershed rehabilitation. He also expressed appreciation and admiration for the concern and enthusiasm of the community in welcoming the forest restoration program through watershed rehabilitation activities. Alwi Dohong reminded parties who have an obligation to carry out land rehabilitation to give greater role and trust to the community in implementing watershed rehabilitation, starting from preparing seeds, preparing land, planting, maintaining, as well as protecting plants from pest and fire. Furthermore, Alwi revealed, it is time for every business actor, especially the holders of borrow and use forest area permits, to have a broader insight and perspective on effort to improve the environment. According to him, entrepreneurs should not just look at the location of their business, but also have to participate in improving the watershed area around their company. Currently, it is necessary to shift the value. If previously entrepreneurs only pursue the profit, it is time they have a moral responsibility toward improving the environment and improving the welfare of the community around the company's operations. Listener, that was my Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kalanya sunyi bersuara, hanya perlu menikmati diam, memahami semua yang terjadi. Tak sekalipun memilih untuk bersamamu, memperjuangkan yang kita punya. Di sini juga tak apa, asalkan saling punya. Bersama, percaya saja, akhirnya satu hari nantinya semua ini akan jadi cerita yang indah. Sekalipun bersama. Percaya saja akhirnya satu hari.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Butuh Hamlet in Magelang, Central Java. Listener, when you traveling to Magelang, Central Java, you can not only visit Borobudur Temple. Magelang has many other interesting tourist attractions. One of them is Butuh Hamlet. It is located at the highest land in Magelang on the slopes of Mount Sumbing. This tourist village is located at an altitude of 1,700 meters above sea level. Butuh Hamlet is located approximately 20 kilometers or about half an hour of trip from Magelang city by using motor vehicles. The total population of the hamlet is around 610 families with 2,500 people. Majority of the residents work as farmers. They plant a variety of vegetables such as potatoes, carrots, cabbage, and others. The structure of the residence houses in the hamlet is quite unique. The houses are built in a regular manner, following the contours of the slope of Mount Sumbing. In the past, before the houses were built, the area was an agricultural field for residents, so that the house buildings followed the contours of the land from foot to the peak of the mountain. For people who like natural scenery and trekking can visit Butuh Hamlet. While trekking around the hamlet, you can take pictures with a view of the houses row on the mountain slopes like in Nepal. You can also see the expanse of vegetable crops. And if the weather is clear, you can see Mount Sumbing from a distance. In addition, for those who like hiking, this hamlet is one of the base camps for climbing to Mount Sumbing. In front of this base camp, you can see the natural views from a distance while tasting delicious typical culinary of this hamlet. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Sekali di udara, tetap di udara, semenjak kita harus mengemudikan siaran RRI sebagai alat perjuangan dan alat revolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia. Dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur, serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila. Terima setia landasan kerjanya, ampera tujuan utama. Penuh pengabdian pada revolusi,
listener. Thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Welcome back to our regular segment, Miss Seleni. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on a day without shadow in Indonesia. Listeners, last February to April 2020, Indonesia experienced a day without shadow. Afterwards, a number of regions in Indonesia will again experience a day without shadow from September to October 2020. When the sun's declination is equal to latitude of the observer, the phenomenon is called the ultimate culmination. At the time, the sun will be directly above the observer's head or at the zenith point. As a result, the image of an upright object will be invisible because it overlaps with the object. In a written statement, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency reported that a day without shadow occurs because the Earth's equatorial plane or the Earth's rotational plane does not exactly coincide with the ecliptic plane or the plane of the Earth's revolution. Thus, the position of the sun from the Earth will appear to be constantly changing throughout the year between 33.5 north latitude to 23.5 south latitude, and this is called the daily appearance motion of the sun. Indonesia's position, which is positioned around the equator, causes the main culmination in the Indonesian territory to occur twice a year, and the time is not far from when the sun is at the equator. The region that experienced a day without shadow was Banda Aceh on September 7, 2020, on which the main culmination time occurred at 12:36 local time. Meanwhile, Kupang region is an area that will experience the day at the end of this period, namely on 18 October 2020. In Jakarta City, this phenomenon will occur on 8 October 2020, and the main culmination occurs at 11:40 local time. That was our segment miscellany for today with the topic A Day Without Shadow, which occurs in Indonesia. Thanks for listening.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. In today's edition of Music Corner, we will present a song entitled Selamat Jalan Kekasih, sung by Viliana Saraswati, or well known as Vizi. The song Selamat Jalan Kekasih was composed by Baby Romeo and firstly popularized by Rita Effendi. The song was one of the hits on Rita Effendi's album entitled Perempuan, which was released in 2000. The song Selamat Jalan Kekasih describes the sadness of someone who is abandoned by his lover. Even though it is hard, love still in the heart eternally. In 2018, this song was re-released by Vizi and became the original soundtrack of our film Sidul, the movie. Well, listener, here is Vizi with the song Selamat Jalan Kekasih. Enjoy the song.
Berpisah denganmu telah membuatku semakin mengerti betapa indah saat bersama yang masih selalu ku kenang. Selamat jalan kekasih, kaulah cinta dalam hidupku. Aku kehilanganmu untuk selama-lamanya. Cukup sekali kau lukai hati ini, tak ingin terulang kembali. Kau tinggalkan ku sendiri. Selamat jalan kekasih, kaulah cinta dalam hidupku. Aku kehilanganmu untuk selama-lamanya. Aku cinta padamu, aku masih menyayangi.
Voice of Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
From
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.